You have one unheard message.
Hi, I was calling Current, the influencer marketing platform, but I think I just got redirected to a bunch of people listening to a podcast. Well, anyways, I was calling Current because I was told they could help get my brand set up on TikTok Shop and even build out an affiliate program of content creators promoting my brand and even have those content creators go on live streams and promote my product there. Wow, I could really use Current. I also heard that the brands they work with are making millions in sales. I guess I'll just go to their website at current.tech.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast, an episode about Squid Game, the show taking Netflix by storm. It's been number one on Netflix for, gosh, almost 2 weeks now. Dave Chappelle special came out today, not even close. Midnight Mass, the new Mike Ferguson anthology from the Haunting of series, not even close. Squid Game still number one. This is Ryan. I'm here with Adam.
Hello.
And we have finished it. We're the ones who have finished it. So that means we're doing the podcast about it.
A little review of it. Recap. Right.
Recap and review. And yes. I assume if you're listening to this podcast, you've most likely watched Squid Game. But if you haven't, it is a TV show. It centers on a contest where 456 players are brought in from different walks of life, but the main thing they all have in common is that they all have large debts, and they all play a bunch of children's games, and if you fail at them, you die, and if you are the last one standing, you win 45.6 billion won.
It's $38,460,271.20 USD.
Sure. It's a lot of money.
38.5 million. Yeah. Which is, that's quite a bit. Although it still wasn't as much as the Powerball was this past week.
Which nobody won, to be fair.
And I thought one person did win it.
Oh, I don't know enough about the history and the recency of Powerball, apparently.
Anyway, so, Squid Game.
The point is that it's a very large risk, but it's also a large cash prize that all 456 people are down to clown about, especially at the beginning before they realize that failing gets you murdered.
Dead.
Other things that you'll know if you've watched this, but you won't if you didn't, is that it is a show that is based in South Korea. And because it is on Netflix, it has a subbed version, which means that the audio is the original Korean and the subtitles are in English if you're, you know, like me and you read English, or a dubbed version, which is a voice cast who is English doing as close to what the mouths are doing on the screen. Which means that either way, although, because I watched a TikTok about the translations not 100% either way,
but
I suppose we'll talk about this first before we get into it. I know you are a anime novice like I am.
Novice is a strong word.
What you mean to say is you've watched almost no anime, right?
Yes.
Right. So, but I think it is a lot like many things, which is, the way you start is pretty much the way that you continue. And the first anime I watched was Bleach. And my only option was to see the subbed version. So I just have been watching subbed versions of anime and
movies in general.
Yeah, any movie that isn't English.
Yeah, that's the same way I do it too.
I read it, which I don't look down on dubbed versions. A lot of people are like that, like who do subs, like play weird gatekeeper shit with animation. They're like, if you don't do it the way that I do it, you're dark, like, blah, blah. But I think it's a bit conceited and a little up your own ass. In any way that you want to ingest entertainment is a-okay with me. Yeah. Although I will say the subbed version is closer to what the original script was, but not 100% even. So
yeah, it's still not 100%. But you know, you get a lot of the emotions out of the actors actually acting, even though it's in a different language. You can hear it because I had the first episode for me started with the English dubbed version, and I immediately was like, no, because you can hear that the English speakers are trying really hard to imitate what's going on screen, like the emotions or what, you know, what they're feeling on screen. And then when I flipped it to Korean, it was an immediate difference, an immediate improvement in just the whole movie. The experience of the show was so much better in native language by far.
You get to actually experience the actors acting.
Yeah, it's wonderful. They were so good.
Yeah, because audio is a large part of it. So the players in Squid Game are kept under watch at all times by masked guards that are in pink suits. The game is overseen by the front man, quote unquote, a dude in a gray hoodie and a black mask. All the masked guards in pink suits have Uzis, and we follow three main characters whom I have to now say this thing.
Yeah.
A part of having the subbed version, what it made me do and made me realize is I don't really watch TV shows the way I used to. Mm. I look away from them. I am on my phone a lot of the time.
I know. I've noticed that too.
But turns out when it's a subbed version, you actually have to read all the words. So if you're not watching the screen, you don't know what the fuck is going on.
Oh, I had to replay scenes multiple times because I kept looking away. I like ended up shutting off my computer and I'm like, I can't. I need to watch it.
This is all to say that I was paying very close attention to this show because you're forced to because you're reading.
Yeah.
And I still cannot tell you one name of one character. I heard them say the names out loud. I saw them written on the screen. I heard them pronounced over and over and over again. But I am so terrible at being able to hear other languages and be able to reiterate them.
Well, being able to reiterate like a name.
Yeah.
Because it blends in so quickly. And they say it really fast. When you actually listen for the name, they do say it really fast, too. So the main guy, I think it was Gi-hun or something, or Gi-hun.
Yeah, Gi-hun. And by the way, like, I know for a fact that Korean names are opposite of American names, where the family name is first and the person's name is second. I know that much for sure. Gi-hun is number 456 out of 456, by the way. Mm. Chauffeur and gambling addict. He lives with his mother. He struggles financially to support his daughter. And he has many debts. He gets beat up pretty badly in the first episode. His friend, or a friend from earlier in his life, Sang-woo, is the head of an investment team at a securities company. He's also largely in debt. He has a mother who thinks he's in America right now. But he also, you know, he looks down on his old friend, but also he's in the exact same boat as Gi-hun is. And Cy-byuk, the girl. I can't say that name for sure. She's a North Korean defector who enters the game to pay for a broker to find and retrieve her surviving family members who are all still across the border. And her brother is at a school in Korea, South Korea. Mm-hmm. So to put him in a house somewhere. Because he thinks his parents are still alive, and they most likely aren't, and that's sad as fuck. So, all of that being said, did you ever see the movie Battle Royale, Adam?
I did, and I remember watching that in high school when, you know, our friend Ben and Brian were really into that kind of stuff. And yeah, I watched the original one, and they had a book too, I think, but I didn't read the book.
Yes, so I read the book first, and I'm not a reader. I don't read things.
Samesies.
I wish I was better at reading. Mm-hmm. I honestly, like, I have a favorite book. I have a favorite book series. Sometimes I go back and read it, but TV is the American medium, and it's my medium, and I watch
it. What is your favorite book series?
Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Oh, yes.
In fact, we just referenced it in What If 9.
And it went over my head.
The second book in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy series is called Restaurant at the End of the Universe. So yeah, I absolutely love that book. And I love everything Douglas Adams has ever written. But it's honestly like 50% of the books I've ever read. Wow. So in Battle Royale, I read just because everybody at the time was all up in its shit.
Yeah.
And I read it and it was so good. And I saw the movie and it was so good. If y'all haven't seen or read it, Battle Royale is a Japanese film based on a 1999 novel. It was made in 2000. And Quentin Tarantino loves the movie, by the way.
Oh, sure. Deems
it as one of his favorite films.
Yeah.
Set in a society where the Japanese government has passed this act to curb juvenile delinquency, basically. Mm-hmm. And they just take a bunch of little kids, they put them on an island, and they make them all fucking kill each other, right?
Yep. Fight to the death.
And the person who wrote Hunger Games basically watched Battle Royale and was like, oh, that. I'll do that. But with Katniss Everdeen, yeah. I volunteer as tribute. It's just like a watered-down version of Battle Royale, Hunger Games is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I thought about it a lot when I was watching Squid Game, because I think, and I guarantee you, there is a genre of these kinds of films, which is just, you know, animes come to life. They're violent with a social undertone. And I'm sure Battle Royale is not the first. It's just the first one that I ever saw.
Yeah, it was like mainstream.
And watching Squid Game, the main things I remember about it afterwards is it's violent. It has social undertones. And it is different.
Mm-hmm.
And it is this exactly. In one of the first scenes, Ji-han walks up to Sang-woo's mother.
Oh, yes. I remember this scene.
Hey, where's Sang-woo at? You know, the guy that I helped get to school every day as a kid, and I helped put him on the bus, and he's the only reason that he got through the Seoul National University, and he graduated and became a very successful man at a securities company. Is me. I'm the only reason that happened. Do you know where he is? And his mom was like, he's in America. Right? Like,
yeah.
It is this thing where they just say how they feel.
Yeah.
Dictate narrative through full sentences, which if you do in American entertainment, you get called the lazy writer. Mm-hmm. But in this show, they're like, no, just get the fucking facts out. Let's get to the murdering, which let's
get to the murdering.
I respect it.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the whole draw to this show is the deception, the murder. The rich people watching people get killed.
The first thing I saw of this show was on TikTok. It was the red light, green light scene.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, the fuck is this? I think it's the scene that gets most people into the show.
It's the realization scene that, oh, this isn't going to go well.
No. And I think that's how we should talk about this show, because we should just, off the top of our heads, discuss scenes that stand out to us.
Okay.
That one is easy, because you're like,
yeah.
Oh, that, like when the first guy gets shot and the second guy's like, get up, man. Come on. Oh, fuck, you're dead as shit. Yeah. And then that guy runs away and they all start running away and they all start getting shot.
And 200 of them drop.
I'm yelling at the screen like, don't fucking run. Yeah. They told you the rules.
Stop moving.
Didn't listen to the fucking rules.
Yeah. No. No, it was brilliant though. There was a couple of parts of that scene where they're like, well, if you get behind someone, the motion sensor can't pick you up. So now you're seeing people get behind other characters and the other people getting shot, and they're like human shields. Like, it was crazy how like the show unraveled with how the human condition changes under different scenarios. So it was so interesting to me.
We also get introduced to Ali, a Pakistani resident. Oh,
he was so good.
He was so good in Korea, who, by the way, we get introduced over time to all of these characters' families. He has a wife and a young child. Ali catches Ji-han as he's about to fall down, saving the main character's life. And him, Sang-woo, and Ji-han form sort of like a trifecta that is going forward as a little team. But from the very beginning, Sang-woo comes off as, there are two kinds of baddies in this show, and they're perfectly, in fact, there are two kinds of baddies, like, in all of entertainment, in all of life.
Sure.
And I think they are very well represented by, one is Sung-woo, and one is, I cannot say his name, he's the guy with the fucking dragon on his face. Yeah. I'm gonna call him face tattoo guy.
Yeah.
Face tattoo guy.
Who you thought was the antagonist.
He is the antagonist. Like, he's one of the, like,
he's one of them.
Is, but he's surface level.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He comes up to your face, he tells you to fuck yourself, he's thug. Like, by the way, I'm the bad guy. Like, that is one kind of bad guy who is honest about it.
Yeah.
Sung-woo is another way. Sung-woo is a pragmatist. He is A number one is all that matters, and he will run over anyone to get his way, and his way currently is winning this game, and only one person can win. So, like, he thinks to himself, I'm the smartest, so I deserve it, and I'm going to win, and I have reasons that are going to win, and no one else around him matters.
Mm-hmm.
And that is true for both of those characters, but in very different ways.
Oh, yeah, it's very different. I mean, as soon as, what's his name, Sung-woo, the friend, Sung-woo, right?
Correct, yeah.
As soon as he was saying, like, oh, well, you know, I have, you know, I'm smart, I know how to do this, you know, lean on me, you know, I want to pick this person, I want to do this, I was just like, this dude, I'm not sure about this dude.
Right. You can tell he's like, I'm playing chess and they're playing checkers because they're dumb as fuck.
The long con. Big long con.
There are a few other characters that y'all know, but, and I will mention here very quickly. There's an elderly man with a brain tumor who is playing the game, who prefers playing the game to being outside. He's number one. Yep. Il Nam is his name, but I'm just going to call him the old guy. Y'all know who he is.
Y'all know old guy.
There is a lady who I found to be annoying as fuck right up until the very end. You know who I'm talking about. And
the cigarette lady, Coochie Cigarette.
Coochie Cigarette. That's her name now. That seems, I don't know if that's her name. I'm going to think about that. Anyway.
You've committed already.
Have I? I don't think I have. And a police officer, a young police officer who sneaks into the game as a guard to try to find his missing brother who has been gone for like 5 years. And he's sneaking around the whole time. That's like a B plot in most of the episodes, is the policeman doing police officer things and trying not to get caught. Oh, I
loved it because you saw the back, like the back end of the games, you know, what went on behind the scenes, the whole like body burning thing, and then the organ harvesting thing with the
medical guy. That was one of my favorite parts. I loved that shit. I loved that. Like,
didn't expect it.
The bad guys in the red suits had like side hustles going.
Yeah, right. And the medic guy, the doctor was
the doctor,
like just low key getting pulled out every day
and getting
no
like no sleep.
Yeah.
But also knowing what the next game was going to
be. I know, crazy.
We go to episode 2, and that to me, the scene that stands out to me there is the vote when they all decide whether they want to leave or not, and the vote goes to the last person, and player number one has the deciding vote, and he sends everybody home.
And after finishing the show and looking back at that episode, why did he do that?
I think to teach them all a lesson. He knew what was going to happen. They all got back to the real world, and they're like, oh, right. Fuck this shit.
Sucks.
I'm going to die here, too. Like,
I
might as well die in a place where I can win the money. And by the way, all the games that they're playing are games that Korean children played as when they were kids. So like when they start getting a honeycomb and they have to take a shape out of the honeycomb with a needle, I have never seen that in my entire life.
Oh no, that was that scene. Oh God, I was like literally like on edge because some of those shots of them like this show was filmed really well.
Oh, yeah. How much money was spent on this show?
Dude, I don't know.
Because holy shit.
But they did a couple of close-up shots of them, like, poking it with the thing. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, go slow. You know, like, it was just, oh, it's crazy.
And this is also a scene where Sung-woo knows what it's about to be.
And he was just like, hey, you get the umbrella. Sorry, bro.
Completely fucking over his friend from childhood.
I know.
And at the end of this, Ji-han kind of figures it out, right? He knows Song-woo yep. sold him down the fucking river.
Yep.
He doesn't say anything to him. He's just like, yeah, that was weird how that happened. Don't you think that was weird how that fucking happened?
That's weird. Son of a bitch. Let me just lick this sugar paste.
Right. And
which was brilliant.
Player one, the old guy, thanks Ji-hun because he wouldn't have made it through unless Ji-hun was like, oh, man, I'm going to lick the shit out of this.
Yeah, right, right, right. And gosh, looking back at how the show ended, it's very interesting. That was the same episode. Was that the same episode? Oh, no, that was episode four where the lights went out and there was just an all-out fucking murder fest at night.
Right. That's
was that,
when-
that one?
Yeah, where the staff was like, by the way, you know, the less people that are here, the more money there is.
And yeah, it doesn't matter how they die. Right.
And you're all in the same room at night.
Oh, crazy.
Anyway, have a good one.
Yeah, have a good night.
And right, the lights go out and a riot erupts. A bunch of players are killed.
So many deaths.
This is where also teams start to form, like larger teams. Mm-hmm. And Tattoo Face gets all the strongest dudes around him and annoying lady, Coochie Cigarette, as you're
Coochie
calling
cigarette.
Her.
Yep.
And Ji-hun is with Song-woo, and Ali is on their team as well. But also, Player One, the old dude, has joined their team, and everyone's like, fuck, this dude's going to get us killed somehow.
And that's the Tug of War episode, right?
That is correct.
Yeah,
and
that was
that
great.
That shit was dope.
That was so good.
When number one was describing how to win Tug of War, I was like, holy shit, I wish I knew this as a kid.
Yeah, right. Like, I would have won.
You lean back for 10 seconds, you tire them out, and then you pull on that shit. Of course. Yeah. That's so, yeah. It's
it
so
makes
stupid
sense.
How it makes sense 100%. Like, how many Tug of Wars as a kid could I have won if I had just known these little facts? Anyway, they almost lose that. Song-woo saves all of their lives by doing like a last minute little
run
ruse
forward. Yeah.
By going forward three steps and then going back. So Song-woo, who is, again, ostensibly the bad guy, saves the main character's lives, as well as number one, who has now been saved two episodes in a row by somebody else. Although he did help like halfway because he had the original thought.
He knew the plan.
But Gihon's team wins. Oh, and by the way, the CGI was not good there. When the people had to fall to the floor, it was actually terrible. And I was like, it was the first time the show slipped up.
You know what, though? I think that was a fine, fair give up for the quality of the rest of the show.
Right. And I'm skipping ahead a bit, but like, you know, when they get to the part where they're on the glass bridge, they decided not to show people falling. And I was like, oh, thank God.
We know what happens. We know.
They fall and they smash their fucking heads.
They splat and they die. Maybe they die.
Right.
Maybe they're suffering. Who knows?
And if they don't, they'll get their organs taken out and sold on the black market.
Harvested.
That's pretty sweet. Oh my God, the guy on the goddamn harvesting table who was still alive.
Yo, I know. I know.
Oh, that is nuts.
There was so much that was so many things happening in this show over time.
Anyway, we get to episode 5 and the black market organ harvesting comes to an end when the conspiracy is found out and Frontman catches all of them. He executes the remaining members of that conspiracy, including the doctor.
Hangs them in the colorful hallway of Hogwarts stairwell.
Oh my God, that hallway. When I saw that hallway, that was the first time I was like, the money spent. And what the fuck? Yeah. It looks insane.
Yeah. So good when they hung them, and then they were like, oh, that's the doctor. He wasn't in last night.
No.
And he was
now he is
killed.
Murdered. Yeah. In fact, when he was shot, I was surprised. I was like, oh, they're letting him live. Nope.
And No.
This is also the episode where Jun Ho, the policeman, breaks into the front man's office, learns that the game has been running for like 30 years.
Right.
And his brother won in 2015.
Crazy. His brother's just living the high life somewhere with millions of dollars.
Yeah, doing something. That we won't find out for four more episodes.
Yeah, right.
And then we go to episode 6.
Oh.
And
episode 6.
Episode 6.
Oh, it was emotionally draining.
So I saw you say that you cried.
I did.
before I watched it, which I think did affect me to be a bit more emotionally guarded.
Not cry.
I did not cry.
Dude, when
I'm a soulless fuck, I don't know.
And I'm going to be honest with you. It wasn't at the scene with the old man, which a lot of people, they thought that that was like the most emotionally hitting one. It was actually the one with the two girls.
Yes, that was sadder.
Because like, oh God, it was so good. Okay, now I know we were talking about the subtitles being kind of off, and maybe they were in this scene, maybe they weren't. I don't know. I didn't investigate it, but it was so well written. It was so well performed. And God, that it just that's when I knew this show. I was like, damn, this show's good.
This show's good shit.
Really good.
And it's its own thing as well.
It's its own thing. It takes little pieces of Hunger Games or Saw or Hostel or whatever they take from, but it's completely new. It's completely like a unique way of presenting it. And that's why I really appreciated it. And that scene with the two girls, enemies, they were enemies at the beginning, like didn't want to be teammates, ended up, I mean, it was so powerful, man. And that's the one that it just got me. Maybe I was just in a mood. I hated it.
She drops the marble.
Oh God.
The other girl's like, why?
I know.
She walks away. The gun is pointed at her head. She's smiling and then, you know, not smiling because she's about to be murdered.
And then she says something. She said, I can't remember what she says, but she said something. And it was just like heart wrenching.
Oh, it was
absolutely heart wrenching.
And honestly, watching Ji-hun talked to the old guy who was just wandering around
stealing the marbles from him, and then at the end when the old guy like knew what he was doing, I was like, oh my fucking God.
Right. And then allows Ji-hun to win the same way that the two girls story ended as well, and then we don't see Ji-hun die on screen. Very Stannis in Game of Thrones. We don't see the head hit the floor.
Not Ji-hun, the old guy. Old Ji-hun is the main guy. Yes,
Ji-hun lives.
Yeah.
Old guy gets shot, quote unquote.
Yeah.
And then Song-woo, that son of a bitch.
Dude, that was also that, God damn it. That whole episode was so heart-wrenching, man. I felt so goddamn bad. I felt so bad. Oh my God.
Gets Ali killed.
Yeah.
And
didn't even
that motherfucker.
Him. Yeah. Didn't even face him.
No. Just,
and he was so helpless. And oh my God.
And he realized he was being bamboozled.
Yeah.
And he did nothing wrong except for trust somebody who didn't deserve to be trusted.
And he wanted to be teammates with him because he was the smartest. And like, oh, dude. It just all, everything came together. Ugh. Ugh. If I ever need like a good cry, maybe I'll watch that episode again. Or I'll watch Coco.
Yeah, sure. Sure. This is when we stop talking about Squid Game and do 30 minutes on Coco.
Maybe another day.
And oh, by the way, the cigarette coochie did not have a partner for this. And by the way, a thing that we knew going into this episode, or at least that game, was that the married couple was also partners, but we don't get to see them in the actual game.
I know.
But you know going in that one of them had to kill the other.
I know. And who survived? I don't even remember.
The husband survived and then goes on to hang himself, if you might recall.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Just oh, my God. That is insane, too. Yes. Gosh.
Anyway, the players return to the dorm in episode 7, and Cigarette Coochie is just like, hey.
She's still there. She's like, hey.
Saw it.
Say, you didn't want to be my partner. Well, probably better.
Yeah, and that is when player 69, who is the, by the way, nice.
Nice.
Although not very nice, because he committed suicide because he beat his wife in the marble game.
Who was player 420?
I don't know, but I hope they blazed it.
I know, dude. Anyway.
Anyway, the VIPs then arrive.
Yep.
Here's a thing that miffed me a little bit.
Okay.
How most of the VIPs were just like gross Americans.
I know. They were like creepy white guys. Like,
now, like, I don't disagree, right? Like, I knew before they even showed up, I was like, fuck. The people who are like paying for this, the creepy people who are like, you know, billionaires and like to watch people die, they're definitely going to be American. And they're definitely going to be like from Texas, be like, yeehaw, people dying. And there was like one or two Koreans in the mix, yeah. but it was mostly just white dudes.
It was, yeah, it was mostly creepy white dudes, like college frat bros.
I'm cool with, but it was like, ah, oh, fuck.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then the one like oddly creepier older gay guy that like wanted the undercover cop to like go in the back room with him.
Yeah. Like, to suck his dick. On. And then the cop was like, I have a gun. So this changes a whole lot. And he gets a video of the VIP basically saying like all of what is going on and then escapes the island in a scuba kit. Is going on at the same time that the fifth game is happening, which is the glass bridge.
Right.
And that was also great. The people pushing the other people.
Oh, it was so good.
The only part of this episode that I thought was kind of stupid was like the monologue the dude who picked number one did when he was like,
oh,
I've never
yeah.
done anything before. I've never been the leader of the... And he did like a 10-minute thing. I was like, okay.
And then immediately died.
Right. Which is obviously like, good. I'm glad he's dead.
You see his face when they sees what it is and he's like, shit.
And then at the end when the dude was like, oh, I know glass, everything's chill, and then they turn the lights off, I was like, oh, you fucks.
See, foreign object.
This is also when Cigarette Coochie completely redeems herself.
Oh, she was so good.
And hugs face tattoo and just, you know, murders both of them
as they fall. Crazy. So good. I knew you'd kill me, baby. I knew it.
And also, by the way, you got a small fucking dick.
You got a small peepee.
And he's like, no. And they both die. And there lives only three. Jihan, Songwoo, and Saibyeok, who I'm definitely saying that name wrong.
Yeah.
Complete the game. But at the end of the game, all the glass explodes. And they all get like glass shards put into them. One of them, a bit more than the others.
Yeah, which is very unfortunate.
And then in episode 8, they put on fancy clothes. They get to go to a fancy dinner. They eat a steak and they have
big
wine.
Old tomahawk, yeah.
And then they clear the plates and they just leave all three of them a trusty little knife.
Just a tiny paring knife. Do with it what you will.
Right. We also realize here that Saibyeok is injured. She had a very large piece of glass in her torso. And then she does the thing that you're not supposed to do, which is she takes it out.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you've just uncorked your body and all of the blood's now coming out of it. So in that moment, you're like, oh, fuck, she's dead. Like, there's no way that she lives. It's just, how does she die?
Yeah.
They then go back to the large room where Jihan learns about Saibyeok's family and is realizing that she's dying and then like runs to the front door and it's like, come get her, come get her. And then they come to the door with a coffin, which is gnarly. And you're like, oh no, she died of natural causes. And then he turns around and nope, Songwoo cut her throat like a bitch.
Yeah, very sad.
And then he's like, oh, I did her a favor.
I did her a favor. She was suffering.
Shut the fuck up.
She would have been dead anyway.
Yeah. Jihan's like, by the way, she saved your life. I was about to go over there and stab the shit out of you when you were sleeping.
Right. And that's when the animosity built to the highest level.
They also, frontman and a bunch of soldiers, hunt down Jun-ho, the undercover policeman, on the top of a mountain where he's been trying to send his videos, but they just haven't been sending.
In the middle of a remote island, of course not.
Nah, and frontman reveals himself to be In-ho, Jun-ho's brother.
Yeah.
So he won the game and then became the head of the game.
And now I'm curious, is that a thing that's supposed to happen every time? Like, does it a new person and whatever? Like, how did he become the head of it?
Well, I think it's inferred that number one, who, spoiler alert, the old guy, not dead. And a huge part of this thing, like actually kind of running it, and decides at the near the end of his life to actually play the game himself for funsies, for goofs. It seems like the dude won in 2015 and he was like, you're good at this. You should run it. And that's what happened.
Interesting.
But then, you know, that guy with tears in his eyes shoots his brother in the shoulder. Right.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, he might live. And then he falls, you know,
off the giant cliff into the water.
So you're like, oh, that guy
He did. And I was pulling for him too.
Me too. He ended up failing completely.
It was all for naught.
Like,
it was just to show us what was going on.
Right. And his brother didn't change his mind.
No, not at all.
Or become helpful. It was all just completely for zero, which is a real bummer.
Yeah.
We then get to episode 9, which is the finale. And we, by the way, there was the first scene of the show, it shows a bunch of Korean kids playing what is called Squid Game, which I saw 2 times it being played in this show, and I still don't exactly know the rules, but
I have no idea.
There's offense and there's defense, and the offense is trying to get to a place and the defense trying to make them not go to that place.
You literally beat up the other kid. It's a very physical game, they said.
You just kick the shit out of the other kid.
Yeah, right.
And Jihan beats Sang-woo, but refuses to complete the game by finishing him. And
nice.
Then he invokes the third clause to end the game, which is if both of them want to end it, they can just do that. But Sang-woo is like, nah. And he, I don't think, redeems himself, but he does do the right thing.
Yep.
Kind of. Which is stab himself in the neck. And asks Jihan to use the prize money to help his mother. Which, by the way, episode 6, very sad.
Yeah.
The saddest part of the entire show for me was when Sang-woo's mother was describing to a woman at her shop how proud she was of her son. And then the police come up and ask her where her son is. And in that moment, she realizes that her son is a complete facade and not what she always thought he was.
Right.
And such a large portion of her life was just based on being proud of her son, and that it all comes crashing down in a moment.
Yeah, very sad.
Oh my God. It crushed
me. There was a heavy, heavy hitting moments in this show. And they were surprising too. I didn't see them coming.
And then the end happens, which I kind of thought was dumb and I didn't need.
I did not like it.
No, I liked the whole show a lot, but the end I thought was kind of dumb.
Yeah, I was very satisfied with the old man being done, and that was how he ended. Not him being the damn creator. I couldn't even they showed him a flashback of him in the VIP room dressed up in a suit, and I still couldn't picture it. Does that make sense to you? I couldn't picture that character. Just, it does not make sense to me. He was the old guy in the game. He should have died. Done. I don't know.
It made sense to me. I just didn't like the choice.
I didn't
like the choice of this show being one thing for 8.5 episodes or 9 episodes. And then for 0.5 episodes, they're like, by the way, we're a born shit. This is a spy thing now. It's the guy. I did like the part where Jihan, doesn't use any of his money for a year because he feels guilty.
Sure.
And he doesn't know what to do with it. That part was fine. But one being the ultimate master of the entire game, the policeman's brother learning absolutely nothing and still being the front man, and Jihan being the old man being I was testing humanity to see if there was any goodness left, and also I was bored.
Yeah, I was killing people because I had a bunch of money.
Right.
What I did like, though, in that last scene where he was up in the tower with him next to the bed, was how they were, even in his last moments of death, he was still betting on something bad happening to another person. The old bum on the street. That little tension I thought was good, but the whole idea of the old man being the creator, I didn't like.
Yeah, and then in that moment, somebody comes and helps the bum on the street.
Right.
Which is humans are helpful. And they're not innately bad. And Jihan's like, see, did you see it? And he's like, you saw it before you died. I know you did.
He saw it.
And then he just snaps out of it. Jihan does. He fulfills all of his promises. He gets Sebiuk's brother out of the orphanage and gives Sang-woo's mother his share of the prize money. And then he's about to leave his country and do the right thing to go reconnect with his fucking daughter.
And that's where the show should have stopped.
Yeah. And he should have got on the goddamn plane. But instead, he has stupid red hair and he sees someone playing the game in the train station, the guy who was playing the game with him. I didn't even talk about that part.
No idea what his name was.
Yeah, but he was playing the game in the train station.
Oh, yeah. That was his audition.
Yeah, to be in part of the Squid Game.
Yeah.
And Jihan takes the man's card and calls the number on it before getting on the plane. And he is now determined to find out who they are, who's doing this game, and how to stop them. But isn't who they are number one, who's now dead, and the front man who didn't change his mind after his brother even died? Like,
yeah,
he knows who they are. He just didn't need the front man, but like, he needs to find out more.
He wants to stop it. And did they greenlight a season two for this yet?
No, the creator has no intention of doing a season two.
Oh, really?
Right.
Oh, okay, good. All right, maybe that was just a speculation.
With it not doing a season two, why have that ending?
Yes, that's true. Oh, now that I know that there's no plans, it makes it even worse.
I'd like to hear from someone who liked the ending, honestly.
So out of all the people that I know that have watched it, I don't think any of them have liked the ending. I'd be curious to know that too. Like where, or maybe a different take on it. Maybe I'm missing something. I don't think so though. Cause he could have just been a better father and gone.
Right.
But that's the whole idea, is that he's a gambler. You know, he is addicted to gambling. He's addicted to winning something, even at the expense of his own life. And I think that's the whole theme. And that's about as simple as it is. You know, he'll risk his family, everything. Oh, it was also heartbreaking when we found his mother passed away.
Oh, my God. Right. I forgot about that.
Yep. That part, I was like, dang, that sucks. Because, so like,
it's all for nothing.
Exactly, man. Like,
and then especially it's all for nothing. Like, it wouldn't have been all for nothing if you got on the fucking plane.
Right. Go see your daughter. Oh, well. But other, all in all, the show is great. I highly recommend anyone watch it. I think it was a great watch. I've encouraged people at my work to watch it. You know, it's just it's so well done. Even though people, who may not like the subtitled stuff, I was saying, watch it with the Korean audio. Just it, you'll get it. It'll come across better, even though you'll have to read.
Again, one of the most popular shows on Netflix ever.
Yeah.
Which is odd. In many markets, including Eastern America, because it's number one on my Netflix.
It sure is.
And that is odd. I don't know the numbers between, like, if the American audience is listening, like, what's the percentage of dubbed versus subbed.
Right. Ooh, that'd be interesting to find out. I hope that they win something for this. I think it's deserving of some sort of win. Is this Emmy eligible?
I assume it is. Yeah. I don't think it will, though. I think it will be seen as pulp. But I don't know.
But it being the number one show, like, that's such a huge percentage of people. That's got to account for something. It's got to.
I don't know what exactly. What do you think it was specifically that, like, zeitgeisted Squid Game so fucking hard?
I don't know, because it literally came out of nowhere for me. You said you saw it on TikTok?
Right, that's what happened.
I did not see it on TikTok.
The social media blitz of this was kind of nuts. Like, the amount spent on social media advertising had to be immense.
Yeah, so I didn't see it on TikTok. I heard about it when you mentioned it to me, and then I started seeing it appear on my top Netflix shows, and then I saw news stories about it saying, the dystopian hit no one wanted until everyone did, and I was like, oh, that's interesting, and I just threw on the first episode just out of curiosity, honestly, and I didn't stop.
Yeah. No, you went all the way to the end.
Yeah. And so I'm reading an article right now. It says the U.S. streaming giant in Netflix invested about $700 million for Korean films and television shows from the years 2015 to 2020. This year alone, Netflix plans to spend $0.5 billion in just 1 year. So I think that they're starting to double down on this type of stuff.
Well, I mean, that makes sense. The Chinese market is the biggest movie market in the world. But Squid Game, like, being a crossover hit also in America is crazy.
It is. It was number one in like 90 countries, which is, that's insane for 3 weeks. It's only been 3 weeks this Friday.
That shit shouldn't happen.
No,
and I think it's mainly because of the red light, green light scene. It's just people got so hooked on that shit.
Yeah.
Like, there was a football game this week, and like in the NFL, and a wide receiver was coming back to the huddle, and they were playing red light, green light with him, and then he moved a little bit, and a guy like made fake guns at him, like, "Aha, you're dead."
Oh my gosh.
They watched this shit. Everybody watched this shit.
Yeah, it exploded. It absolutely exploded. They're saying here that the show has universal appeal because it poses a simple moral question of who are we, which I think is very accurate. This it tests the human psyche in this show and like what people would do for something. And I think
also,
that's interesting.
Violence.
Yeah, violence too. Yeah, there's violence. I would love to see Quentin Tarantino present Squid Game.
By the way, 2 days ago, the woman who played Sebyeok became the most followed Korean actress on Instagram.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But good for her. I think it's deserved. She's great. She was great.
They were all so good.
Yeah, it really was. It was a hell of a cast. The just everything about the show, from the, you know, technicality of it to the story, was just, it was so good. I'm so glad I watched it.
If I had to guess, I would say if this show gets any awards, it will be supporting actor for the guy who played Sang-woo.
Yeah,
I think he'll probably get something.
What about what is it? Outstanding screenplay or something?
Yeah, maybe that as well.
But who knows? I mean, who knows? Because it's so different than a movie. I mean, and you got to see what it comes up against. You know, that's. I mean, how many times did Leo freaking lose the Academy Award? You know,
lots of them. Lots of times.
Last times he should have gotten it.
That's true. Anyway, thank you very much for joining us on our Squid Game episode. Thank you to the patrons who wanted us to do this in the first place. So we did.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if you want to let us know what you want us to do episodes on, then join the Patreon Discord by joining the Patreon. Patreon.com/HBOBoys, B-O-I-Z. For $1 or more a month, you get a bunch of shit earlier. It's great. Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks. Bye.
What a way to end it.
Yeah. I don't know how to end things.